Robert Baer spent 20 years as a CIA agent in the Middle East. In fact, George Clooney's character in the movie Syriana is based on him. Baer's gone into the film business himself now. He narrates an extraordinary documentary he made with a British crew. It's called The Cult of the Suicide Bomber. And it is scarier than any Hollywood scream fest. Baer went back to the Middle East to film the culture that creates suicide bombers. He told Steve Paulson he found it in Iran, where the very first suicide bomber, a 13-year-old boy named Hossein Fahmideh, is a national hero.
Not only Fahmideh, but you see other suicide bombers or people that have martyred themselves. They renamed a street in Tehran after the military officer who shot Sadat. All over Tehran, you see pictures of martyrs. You see pictures of the Palestinian martyrs, of the women, the child martyrs. It is part of their culture. In Tehran, you don't see sports heroes, you know, posters of them up on walls. You don't see movie stars. You don't see musicians. You see suicide bombers. It's part of the culture now.
You were actually the first Westerner to talk to the family of Fahmideh, this 13-year-old boy who blew himself up. Can you tell me about that visit?
Yes. You know, ironically, we got the mayor of Tehran, Ahmadinejad at the time, he's president of Iran now, to set us up with meetings. He is proud of Iran's martyrs. And even though I was ex-CIA, and even though we were coming from a British production company, he insisted we go see the family. He called them up and said, these people are fine. Tell them everything you want to. We drove out to Karaj, which is a small city outside of Tehran, working class largely, very poor, and we were accepted into the family. We were allowed to film all day and actually get into a debate with the family about suicide bombing, what it meant to lose their son. Would they give up another son? The parents are old, but they were very adamant that they were proud of their son, and had he asked their permission, they would have let him go, and they would willingly sacrifice him again. You know, we have to keep in mind a lot of these interviews might be staged, but, you know, we actually got into an argument when I used the word in Farsi, suicide. And they bridled at that. They said, no, this is not suicide. Suicide is when you have a personal problem and you take your life. This is martyrdom. You do it for the nation, for Islam.
And that was a common distinction, right? I mean, generally, these people don't want to call this activity suicide bombing, and they use the word martyrdom instead. And there are profound implications for that, right? I mean, including theological implications.
Oh, absolutely. It helps to speak the language, because I intentionally, when I was trying to goose an interview, I would use the word in Arabic, for intihari, for instance, is suicide. And all these people would bridle and say, no, this is martyrdom. This is a legitimate cause. We don't have problems. All of the suicide bombers know what they're doing. They do it willingly, and they do it with a specific cause in mind and with the approval of the group.
The Fahmideh family live in a city just outside Tehran, in a house provided for them by the state.
Assalamu alaikum.
I am the first Westerner that they have ever met. The family have a room where they keep a small shrine to their son.
Muhammad Hussein.
Shahid
Hussein. Ayatollah Khomeini here is talking about that he was a 13-year-old boy. He was just a little boy, but yet he gave himself to the military and to martyrdom.
When his parents gave Fahmideh their blessing to join up, they never thought he would be sent to the front.
The radio news was on and my husband was listening. Suddenly it was interrupted and they announced that a 13-year-old boy had thrown himself under an enemy tank and that he had drunk the elixir of martyrdom and blown the tank up. We were having dinner and I said that this boy must be my Hussein.
He was a martyr. It's impossible to describe him as anything else. A martyr through and through.
It's interesting. She and the wife and the brother absolutely reject the word suicide, even though there was 100% chance that he would die.
when he threw himself under the tank.
The word martyrdom means he understood what he was doing. It was for the greater good, for the people of Iran, not for himself.
So what did you make of that encounter? I mean, for instance, meeting the family of this 13-year-old boy who killed himself.
Well, it was absolutely fascinating for me because I'd spent 21 years in the CIA, and I'd always look at suicide bombers from the outside, from intelligence reports, from news reports, from, you know, defectors and intelligence agents and people like that. So now I actually got inside the family and realized this is a much bigger problem that I had ever suspected. And it's not based on economics. We're not talking about poor people that are desperate, that are living in desperate circumstances. A lot of these people were fairly well-to-do. And what I see was a profound humiliation and people that feel that they're in the corner and they have no way to respond except through sacrificing themselves, which makes it much more scary because it's much more difficult to suppress. If I'd gone in and these people had said, no, he was recruited into a cult and they'd been angry at the recruiters, I'd see more hope that we could solve this problem fairly soon. But it wasn't that way at all. And, you know, we went out in the streets in Iran and asked people. They were all of the same mind. Yes, we can only defend ourselves through martyrdom, through suicide bombings.
What do you make of the 2005 London bombings? Was this a new kind of suicide bombing?
You know, frankly, I found these people, the London bombers, the July 7th bombers, offensive. I mean, I've spent 21 years in the Middle East, and I completely can enter the logic of the Israelis, the Jews, the Holocaust, the Palestinians, and say it's just the whole thing is, you know, isn't working. But on the other hand, I have a problem with second, third generation British Muslims saying they can't stand Britain, they can't stand the society, and then go blow themselves up.
Well, it's also not clear what the goal of the July 2005 bombings were in the London Underground.
They say that Britain is at war with Islam in Iraq and Afghanistan, and as long as there are British troops in those two countries, Britain is not neutral. And they consider themselves Muslims first, citizens second. They were very clear about that, the ones that would talk.
Where has that left other Muslims who live in England?
It's left them in a, well, I mean, I think that the first generation doesn't approve of it. They came to Britain to work. They hope their families would become integrated into British society. It remains a bit of a racist society, Britain. It's true they can't fully integrate. And the first generation disapproves of this tactic. They just saying, hold on, things will get better one day. But the kids are frustrated, alienated, isolated, whatever you like. And they're picking up this weapon, which is an all-purpose weapon. It gets whatever your frustration, alienation is. It's not about occupation because they're not being occupied. And I said, you know, it's sort of like I'm a Protestant, but in the times of trouble in Ireland, I didn't strap on, you know, a suicide vest and go into a Catholic church and blow myself up. I'm an American. I can't sympathize with the Catholics in Ireland or the Protestants. They were very certain and convinced of their position that as long as Britain was at war with Muslims, they'd be at war with Britain.
I mean, but that you know, you would think that a lot of other Muslims who live in London would have a big problem with that. I mean, yes, they might be angry about the racism that they're subjected to, but on the other hand, this opens them up to all kinds of problems, to searches and to being treated with suspicion constantly.
Oh, they are angry about it. I mean, these kids, the July 7 bombers, had been kicked out of a social center, a mosque, in fact, when the mosque elders that ran this thing found out what they were talking about. They were praising the 9/11 attacks. They were talking about going to Chechnya to fight the Russians. They threw them out. But this is very much a generational problem where these people the best word is alienated. They're cut loose from their parents, from society. They're feeling frustration. They feel they have nowhere to go, and they want to be part of something that's bigger than they are.
But this is the story of so many immigrants around the world, that they feel alienated, they don't fit in, sometimes for generations, and then only later do they become assimilated in a way. And I guess it does raise the question of why have Muslims in particular resorted to suicide bombing. I mean, granted that the vast majority of Muslims, you know, would condemn this, but I guess it does go back to the religious question. Is there something about Islam that leads them to take this drastic action?
I think what it is, and I'm not an Islamic scholar, so I'm on thin ice here. In Islam, you have the greater jihad, which is just struggle, studying hard, engaging yourself in politics, joining legitimate organizations. And there's the little jihad, which is going on a crusade. Few people do it. And what it goes back is the Quran, which I've read, is ambiguous on suicide bombings. The language, the Arabic, is very ambiguous. And if you are a radical, you can pick parts of the Quran out, ignore other ones, and say, here's what God said, you know, through the prophet. He said, we can do this. And the same way with the sayings of the prophet, the hadith, you can pick parts of this out. When I'd first approached suicide bombings back in 1983, I had assumed it all depended upon a cleric with a very fixed idea of the Quran. But the more you look at the networks, the people that are ordering these things and talk to them, the less it has to do with a literal interpretation of the Quran. But nonetheless, to get back to your question, Islam does offer a way of taking retribution against what you consider a corrupt society, much more than Christianity or Buddhism or Hinduism.
What do you see as the future of suicide bombing?
I'll take a stab at that, and you ask Muslims what's the future, and I'll take their line, which is that movements like this have occurred in Islam since the beginning. You had the Khawarij after the Prophet died, that left Islam, went out in the desert, tried to create an absolutely pure Islamic community, fought with other Muslims. They were crushed. This has happened periodically. I think this whole movement will flame out at some point. It will happen much more quickly if we can do something about Iraq and Palestine, you know, remove the major causes. But until then, we just have to wait for the Islamic community to decide that this is destructive for Islam, and they will be able to crush it internally. Now, there is a case of one country that did crush it, and it's a case that no one in this country particularly likes, and that's Syria. After Hama, the Muslim Brotherhood rose in Hama, took the city over, massacred some officials, some Baathi officials. Hafez al-Assad pulled the artillery up and flattened the city, and then proceeded to any clerics who advocated the little jihad were fired. Any radicals caught carrying guns were sent immediately to prison. He solved the problem for 20 years. But that was done internally, again. So we either have to do it a very strong state control, or Islamic clerics themselves have to turn against this movement. And you see, even in Iran today, when I was there last year, the clerics, the Ayatollahs, complaining about the suicide bombers.
In my opinion, and in the opinion of any right-minded person in today's world, they are not human beings, let alone martyrs. They are worse than the cruelest wolves. At least a wolf openly hunts a lamb before killing it. But these people use hidden and secret means of terror. And by being named suicide bombers, they drag the good name of humanity through the mud. Every day, they are hated more for what they do.
Even though they started it, there's the irony, they started in 1980, is they're complaining about the Wahhabis in Iraq causing chaos, creating what's called fitna, which is fighting among Muslims. So they are starting to condemn this whole movement. And this may continue. So ultimately, there's an optimistic scenario. This is going to go away.
Robert Baer's documentary is called The Cult of the Suicide Bomber. He spoke with Steve Paulson.